Okay,
ladies. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
We are in Parashat Va'era. We are starting the 10 plagues, and we have to understand the figures. And we have to understand what's going on. Pharaoh is one of the greatest people in this ancient world. Very strong, very powerful. He controls almost the whole world, this Pharaoh. Very clever, must be. Surrounded with wise people. People are still investigating their knowledge of doing things. And this guy is getting an order from God, sent, let my people go. And he's getting a plague after a plague after a plague. And everybody normal would look at this picture and think to himself, is this king, Pharaoh, clever or is he stupid? What's going on here? This guy is going on and on. Then also, we are very puzzled when we will see next week that only 20% of Am Yisrael, after all the miracles, of all the proof that there is a God, and He is the only one, He controls everything, He is the one, and still 80% stay in Egypt.
80%?
Yes. Says the Chamushim Yatzu next week. By the way, that's the one of the midrashim. There are all other midrashim that even say
less.
Even less went out of Egypt. And you know, it's an old new story. It's all happening again and again and again. People acknowledge they don't want to know about God, though if they will look with clear eyes, they will see there is a God. And it's not only us, it's also the world around us. You know what is one of the greatest worry of the Hezbollah? Nasrallah, he likes us the way we are. That all most of us don't keep the mitzvahs. Because he knows the power of Am Yisrael. But still, he goes against us. So what's going on here? There is a plan. And you have to understand, we have to understand, that God controls everything. And whatever we see, God, how strange it would look, God is behind everything. Pharaoh is getting 10 plagues. Why 10? Why not 8? Why not 5? And we all see that after 5 plagues, he says, okay. But then, God is making him change his mind. Which is again another interesting question. Where is the free will? And if God really wanted to take us out of Egypt, he could have done it like this. So what is all this
play?
Pyrotechnica, they call it. All those games and fire. And what is it? What is all about?
A lesson to the Israelites.
So if we would think that this is a punishment, this is one of our explanations, a punishment to the Egyptian or what they did to us. But then, for what? The only guy that is left afterwards, from one, and this is also from the Midrashim, is Pharaoh. All his people died. At least all the soldiers. So in other words, those who stay, they are like, they are nothing, they are not important. There is one very interesting point that we have always when we get to the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim. We have to remember that in a few months we will sit around the table on the Seder night and we will talk exactly about what we're talking now. And every day, a few times a day, we have the obligation to remember Yetziat Mitzrayim. A lot of things we do are Zecher Litziat Mitzrayim. When the king of Kuzar in the book of Kuzari asks the friend, asks the Jew, who do you believe? What do you believe? Who is your God? He tells him, the one who took us out of Egypt. And in the beginning he laughs. He says, this guy is crazy. Everybody is telling me that God who created the world is our God. And this guy is telling, the one who took us out of Egypt. Big deal. But then, we understand and realize that the proof that there is a God, and it's our God, is Yetziat Mitzrayim. And that is why it's not five, and not six, and not seven, it's 10 plagues. 10 plagues against 10 commandments, against 10 says that God says, Ma'asara ma'amarot nivra olam. The world was created with 10 says that God said. And each one of those plagues is a proof of one part of the creation.
But why 10 and not 7?
Because in 10, Asara ma'amarot nivra olam. The world was created with 10, not words saying, with 10 saying.
And ten commandments.
And Esar Sfirot, and counting that on the Kabbalah. And then you also divide them to 3 parts. What did Pharaoh say? Who is God? Mm-hmm. Pharaoh says, I am God. So first of all, the three first one are showing everybody, here I am, I am God. Then you could say, okay, God created the world, but then he left us. Does he want to deal with us? We are like nothing. Why should God, this great God, deal with human beings, flesh and blood? So then another 3, to prove that there is Ashgacha Pratit, that God looks at each one of us and on the whole creation. And then the third part is, Enod Milvado. There is no other God. There's only one God. And if we see those things, we understand that when God created the world, there was nobody there to see it. So there is no proof or somebody who saw God creating the world. But now, there are millions that understand. And as we say in Shirat Hayam, Az nivalu olofei Edom, elei Moav yochazem orad, namogu kol yoshvei Chanaan. Everybody got a fright. Everybody understood and realized that there is a God, and it's our God, the one and the only one. There is also a very interesting point that we have to understand with the relationship of the creation with the Creator. There is a big difference between a creation of a human being and a creation of God. And what is the difference? It's very interesting. When a carpenter creates a table, there is no connection anymore between them. The table can exist without the carpenter. And even if the carpenter dies or whatever, the table will still exist. But God is connected to the creation. The minute God stops looking after the creation, there is no creation. It's the same, that's why in Kabbalah they call it the light. Aor HaGanuz, the light that God keeps him for the tzaddikim. The light is always light, the or of the Torah. The menorah is the symbol of the Torah. Light is Torah. What is light? When the light is lit, you see the room, you see. But when I will cover the source of the light, would you see anything? Mm-hmm. Nothing. Yeah. Only when the light is connected to the place which is
lit.
Then there is a light. Otherwise, there is nothing. So God is the same way, this is for us to understand, like the light. If we are connected to the light, we live. If you don't collect the light, we die.
And also depends the, I heard yesterday, the cover of the light, like the Ramzor in the street, there is, it's the same light. Only the red is, the cover is red, the other cover is green, and the other cover is
amber.
Amber, and you do the fear.
What you see.
Let's say
what God lets you see.
Yes.
Or let's say, in other words, that's the 10 sefirot. The counting of the Kabbalah is like screens. What does it mean? When you look at the sun, you cannot look at the sun with your eyes, with bare eyes. You will be blinded. So you put special glasses on in order to see. So for us also to get the light from God, we cannot just look and get the whole light. We will die. So we put screens till we can get the light. Then it's like somebody, you're waking up in the middle of the night in the dark and you put a projector on his eyes. What's going to happen? He can be blinded. But if I slowly keep the light going up, 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 he can then again see much better than when it happens in one go. And this is the way we are accepting the light from God and building ourselves, climbing up. And all those things we learn from Yetziat Mitzrayim. But the basic thing is very simple. God created the world. God is the one and the only one. And he looks after each one of us. Pharaoh, because of this reason, that God wanted us to have all those 10 plagues, not for the Egyptian, for the whole world, and especially for us. As Moshe Rabbeinu comes to God, no, they don't believe me. How would Pharaoh believe me? And why don't they believe him, Am Yisrael? Because things are not always as they look. There is a procedure. We have to understand and realize that even though it's dark now, if God tells us that there is going to be a light, there is going to be a light. But Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't understand what's going on here. Because he says to God, you send me to Pharaoh to save Am Yisrael. And what's happening? It's getting worse. So God is telling him, first of all, there's a lot of explanations. First of all, how dare Moshe Rabbeinu talk to God this way? Why did you send me? Vaydaber Elokim el Moshe vayomer elav ani Hashem. So one of the explanations is Elokim is midat hadin, judgment. And Hashem is midat harachamim, mercy, chesed, love. It says, Vaydaber Elokim el Moshe. So God tells him, Moshe, I know that I behave with you very nicely, but we are not friends. I am God, and you are a creation. So put yourself in the right position. How dare you talk with me like this? I talked with Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov. Nobody approached me like you. But then really it's not doing to him anything, because what is the reason Moshe Rabbeinu talks like this? What is the reason? What do you think?
Because he is worried about the
Am Yisrael. Because he loves Am Yisrael.
Yeah.
And when you love Am Yisrael, you also love God.
God.
So in other words, God is not doing anything because he knows that Moshe Rabbeinu is doing it from love. But he explains to him, you have to understand, till now I reveal myself in a different way. All the miracles were done through nature, and you can explain them. But now, everything is changed. Why? As we said, we have to give the proof to everybody that everything is under control of God. So here are miracles that are going to happen that nobody can explain. Nobody. How can you explain water and fire together? How can you explain water being changed to blood, real blood? And the Torah is telling all the fish die. How can you explain something like this?
But didn't one of the Egyptians also turn the water to
they did. We have to understand, today I heard a lesson and the guy was saying what he was saying, but I'm sorry to say what he says was not exactly right. Because the real truth is, whatever the Mechashvim of Mitzrayim, of Egypt did, the sorcerers, what they did was, how do you say, achizat enayim.
Illusions.
There was nothing real about it. The blood was water that looks like blood, but it wasn't real blood. And that was written, by the way. They couldn't make the water become blood and fish dying, by the way. That's what not. And when do they admit it? When they get to the Kinim. When they get to the Kinim, it says, it's by Eloki. This we cannot do. So we have to understand, when we're talking about Mechashvim and sorcerers and all those things, it's not real. So when we look at the miracles happening, we understand now why Pharaoh couldn't do anything about it. By the way, Pharaoh found an excuse, because it's not like God took all his free will away. God hardened his heart, but he still had the choice. But you see, that's exactly the point of free will. What is free will? Free will is what I really want to do. And what Pharaoh really wants to do? Does he really want to send Am Yisrael free?
No.
So in other words, there is no damage to his free will. On the contrary, God helps him with his free will. Makes it hard for him, and he keeps Am Yisrael. And then after all, we see also he's chasing Am Yisrael into the sea. So Am Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu comes to them and tells them, okay, I'm going to save you. Instead of being saved, things are getting hard. And then God explains, Moshe Rabbeinu, we have to understand, it's not going to be the same. It's like, in a natural way, when the night is finished, the light goes up slowly. But when we're talking here about the Geula, it's going to happen like this. So in order for it to shine even more, I will make it darker 2 minutes before that you will see the light. It says, when you light a candle in this room, it's dark outside, it's not daylight, but still, you wouldn't see a lot of the light of the candle. But when I put off all the lights and then I turn on a light, a small light, suddenly you will see the whole room. Mm-hmm. So this is the same way the Geula is going to be from Egypt. That's the same way the Geula, Bezrat Hashem, will come very soon, is going to happen again. The same way. The Torah is telling us, Kaved Lev Paro. The heart of Pharaoh is Kaved. What is Kaved?
Heavy.
Heavy, but Kaved is also liver.
Liver, yeah.
So is there a connection between the organs of the body to what's happening to Pharaoh, or what's happening to each one of us? Yes. The kaved, the liver, is the place where the blood is being pured. And the heart is the place which pumps the blood into the body. And the brain is the neshama. Now, the right order is melech. Melech is moach, lev, kaved. Brain, moach, lev, heart, kaved, liver. That's the right order. The wrong way is, which happens unfortunately to some of us, liver first, exactly the opposite. Liver first, then the heart, and then the brain. In other words, instead of the brain controlling, the liver is controlling, or the desire of the heart. And this is exactly one of the beautiful things of the creation, to understand and realize that each one of us is a small world. They say also the temple, Beit HaMikdash, was a small world. So if we see the things where they were put in and what's the meaning of them, you will find it's the same way as the organs of the body, and it's the same way as the whole universe is being built. Of course, you have to dig in deep in order to see the whole picture. But we can see a small picture to understand it. As we say, the heart is where the feeling is. And we all know that when we are getting frightened, what happens? Something in the heart. When we're happy, in the heart. Now the liver is like no feeling, no brain, and it's really like a plant or somebody who is doing thing
quiet.
as a robot. No thinking, no thing. And Pharaoh was getting to that level. Kaved lev paro. He didn't have any heart. He lost everything. He became even worse than an animal. He was just doing things as a robot. Because otherwise it's very hard to explain. But we will see when we go on that there are explanations also to this. But the general idea is we have to control the body with our sechel, with our neshama, with our mind. And by the way, that's the way we also stand. First of all, what is? The head, which is the brain, then the heart, and then the liver. A beast goes on four, it's all the same level. And where does the food get first? The liver. So in other words, what is controlling the animal is the liver. Everything is the same level. By the way, this is what Bilam HaRasha wanted to curse Am Yisrael. He knew he had 1 second to curse Am Yisrael, because this is the second that God is angry. And in this moment he can curse. What can he say? He says, Kalem. Finish them off. But Kalem is also, as we said, Kaf, Lamed, Mem. Kaved, Lev, Moach. In other words, he wanted to change the order. Not the mind controlling, but the liver controlling.
What's Kalem?
Kalem. Kalem finished him off. Lechalot. Also, Vayechulu Hashamayim Va'aretz. We also say, Vayechulu, it's finished. He wants to finish Am Yisrael. But the plan, Baruch Hashem, didn't work.
Klum, is it also?
Yeah, it's also Klum. Klum without the Vav is the same thing. When you change the order, you're Klum. You're nothing. Okay. As the Rebbe Mikos says, Moshe Rabbeinu thought he's going to come to Am Yisrael. Let's go. Okay, we're coming. That's not what happened. So there is a problem. You know, you come to people. If they don't want to go out, there is no reason for you to go to Pharaoh. They don't want to go out. The Rebbe Mikos used to say that God told Moshe Rabbeinu, if you think the problem is getting Am Yisrael out of Egypt, you have to get Egypt out of Am Yisrael. And we think that, why? 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 Really, why? Let's think. How can it be? What if there are slaves? They don't want to be freed?
Yes. I think so.
You think so? Okay. That's what we thought also, but we see that doesn't happen. Only 20% get out. After all the miracles. There is what we call the comfort zone. And this comfort zone is a terrible thing. We get used to things, we don't want to change. And it doesn't matter what it is. Somebody can come every night home from his work, from his job. Oh, what a terrible job. Oh, this one insulted me, this one did this, and I got no koach, I have to change it. Oh, I got no, I don't want to go to what. And then his friend comes to him and tells him,
why don't you quit?
I've got not only quit, I've got a good offer for you. I'm opening a new plant. I'm going to make you the manager. What do you say? Wow, very nice. And then he thinks, okay, I'll give you an answer tomorrow. And he comes tomorrow, what's the answer?
No.
Better the devil you now.
Yes, huh? I know. Yes. I'm used to it. Let me. I don't know what's going to be. And
new challenges.
That is, there new is what challenges. We call, in there is a business called networking.
Yeah,
it's a well-known thing. And a few years ago, I was part of a networking, and I learned a lot from this. And one of the things that we learned is the comfort zone. That in order to convince somebody to change his life is not easy.
Oh boy, isn't that?
And even if you offer him the best thing in the world, he's not always going to go with you.
Right.
And you see, people are doing those things all over the world, and doing experiments, and the result is very simple. Most of the people don't want to get out of their comfort zone. It's not so comfortable, but they still think, that is what I know, I'm used to it. Now, Am Israel are being slaved, third generation, maybe fourth generation. What do you think? They were born to slavery. They don't know anything else. They used to it. And this guy comes to them, leave and come with me. Where to? A Geula. I said, well, leave me alone.
To the desert.
Yeah, to the desert. Leave me alone. At least I've got something to eat. Okay, I suffer here. But I have a few joys of life. And by the way, one of the terrible things is that, you know, during life there are those, let's say, those beastly joys, flesh and blood, you know, that people like food or sex or all those other things. And sometimes this is so tempting that you are willing to give up a lot in life in order to have those joys. And if you used it as life, even worse. What is God telling Moshe Rabbeinu? Look at it, it's unbelievable, you know. He tells him, Ani Hashem. So if you think that you go to Am Yisrael and tell them, okay, let's go, I'm going to free you and you're going to do whatever you want to. No, no, it's not. I'm not freeing you just to be animals. I'm your God. I'm freeing you in order for you to get the Torah and keep the mitzvahs and go in my way. I am your God. So look what he's telling him. In Pasuk Vav, Lachen, look at the language, the way. So, because of this, Emor Livnei Israel, Pasuk Vav, got it?
Therefore,
tell, the beginning of the Parsha. The beginning of the Parsha. So, therefore, tell Bnei Israel, Ani Hashem. Yes. Ve'otzeti etchem. Now, those are the four Leshonot Geula that we say in the Seder night. Ve'otzeti etchem tarzilu l'otzrayim, ve'itzalti etchem avodotam, ve'galti etchem izruan tiyav, ve'shatim gdolim, ve'lakachti etchem li liam, ve'iti lachem. Pasuk Zayin, le'elokim. Don't think that you're going out for now. I'm going to be your God. Ve'idatem ki ani Hashem Elokechem. And then we go to Pasuk Chet, the end of Pasuk Chet, Ani Hashem. So what is he really telling them?
So they didn't want a new boss.
They say Avda Be'efkera Nichale. A slave is, he lives good with a small life he's got.
He's satisfied.
Well, yes, he's satisfied
with this. Slave has a slave mentality. You can't, after a few generations, even there.
That's, by the way, the reason that they were then walking for 40 years in the desert.
To get rid of that mentality. Because that
generation didn't go into Eretz Israel. They were not, with all what was happening, and with all the fact that they are only 20%, so you would think they are the best people of those of Am Israel, they also didn't have the ability to go into normal free life.
They were not.
And this is why 40 years they're going till met kol ador ahu. All the generation died, and then the new generation, he got into Eretz Israel.
So that's also another reason why
Moses didn't get in. Moses didn't get in from a few reasons, and one of the real main reasons is he didn't finish his job. Because the whole generation died in the desert, what was his mission? To bring them into Eretz Israel. So God told him, okay, you're staying with them here, and the Zat Hashem, when the Mashiach will come, you will take them into Eretz Israel to finish your job. But of course, you know, it's not, as we always say, it's not stories. It's to learn how we should behave. And you know, one of the main things is, why is God leaving Pharaoh alive? When we see something unbelievable, let's see where it is. Oh, I must say another thing that is very important. Go to Pasuk Kafvav.
What is
25? 26. 26. Before Shlishi.
Who
are
Aaron?
Yes.
Before Shlishi.
Okay? Who are Aaron? Got it?
Yeah.
Who are Aaron and Moshe? What's written here? Who? What is who?
He.
And who are we talking about? One or two?
Two.
So it should be him. Then, look at it. Asher Amar Hashem Lahem. It's written Lahem. So it's clear that it's talking about both of them.
Yeah, no, I is who?
It's not ended yet. Hem, again, Hem, Hamedabrim El Paro Melech Mitzrayim, Lotzit Lahem. And again, what's written at the end of the Pasuk? Who?
Again.
Moshe Ve'Aaron. Now there is another interesting point. Look what is written in the beginning. Who?
Who? Aaron Ve'Moshe.
What is in the end?
Moshe Ve'Aaron. Inverted order.
Changed.
They were like one.
Here is one of the biggest lessons for marriage and doing a job together.
See?
People in life think I have to be like him in order to, because he's good and I have to be like him. And the real thing is that we have to complete each other. Because if all of us will be the same, nothing will work. It's like when you want to stick two pieces of wood. At the end of the day, they will break. They will not hold. But what do? You do like this.
Enjoyment.
That's the only way it's going to be connected and you cannot move it. And you would say, who is the greatest of all the people we know in Am Yisrael? Lo kam b'Yisrael k'moshe od. It's written very clearly. So how can the Torah compare Moshe to Aaron? And it's looking very clear that God is really giving the mission to both of them. No, in this pasuk, Asher Amar Lahem Otziu et Bnei Yisrael Me'eretz Mitzrayim. He's not saying Moshe Rabbeinu, it's Moshe and Aaron. Now, who is more important? The Torah tells you very clearly. In the beginning, Aaron and Moshe, and then Moshe and Aaron. So, both of them are equal. How can you say this? The Rambam says that each one of us can be like Moshe Rabbeinu. Really? Yes. It's very simple. Each one of us got a potential. And if you fulfill your potential, you are like Moshe Rabbeinu. What did Moshe Rabbeinu do? Fulfill his potential. What did Aaron do? Fulfill his potential. Moshe was, let's say, the prophet, and Aaron was the peacemaker. And both of them got to the highest level of doing their potential, using their potential. That's why, who Moshe v'Aaron, who Aaron and Moshe. In other words, I have to do my own job, not looking at the other one, what he's got and what he hasn't got. Each one, and this is exactly like a couple, the same thing. You fulfill each other. Each one has to do his own job. And that's exactly ours also in a business. Can you imagine to yourself that the secretary will go and to manufacture a desk or whatever? Or let's say that the guy, the carpenter, will go and do the accounting? Or the manager will clean the place and the cleaner will manage the factory? Doesn't work like this. But if each one of them is going to do his job, the business is working. And that's exactly the big lesson. The Torah is telling us something unbelievable. Who Moshe? Who Moshe? Nobody would even think about this, to compare Moshe to Aaron, Aaron to Moshe. But the Torah is telling us, Moshe Rabbeinu, okay. He is great because I gave him the power. What are they saying, Moshe Aaron? Venachnu ma. In Parashat Aman, they say, "When we are nothing." Because Moshe Rabbeinu knows. All the knowledge and all the power of prophecy I've got, where did I get it from? I did something here. I did nothing. God gave it to me. So in other words, this is a big lesson to know. Each one of us has got a job it's got talents, got a potential, and we have to fulfill our own potential.
So that you use what God has given you.
Exactly. So, a big lesson for us. And then,
sometimes when one doesn't realize what God has
what your potential is.
That's our job, to find out. You know, somebody told me, so how am I going to know my potential? I says, try and do something, and you do what the best you can. And if you get to it, you will get to it. But if you lay around, it says, like, imagine to yourself that Rav Chaim Kanievsky coming to heaven and telling him, you know, what did you do here? Hey, I was a rabbi in one of the keilot, and says, what? Directed to hell. Why? What did I do? Says, you're supposed to be Gdol Hador. So you sit in a small place and be a rabbi? But from the other side, this small rabbi comes in and he says, what did you do? I've been a rabbi in Cologne, yes, in this keilah over there. Says, wow! Directly to Gan Eden. Why? Because he fulfilled his task in life. He fulfilled his potential. And that's what it is.
It doesn't mean that
so
one is a bit less
zone.
Important than the other.
You can't stay in your comfort zone if you want to fulfill your potential.
No.
Doesn't
that's
mean
one
that,
of the problems.
And doesn't mean that one is less important than the other.
Of course not. Each one of us is important. It's like you say, you've got a machine. How do you call how do you say mechonat hanshama in English?
A respiratory machine.
So there is a small knob that you press it and then it works. Can you take it away?
No.
It won't work. Can it work without connection to the electricity? You have all this much beautiful machine. If you don't connect it to electricity, if you're not connected to God, you've got nothing.
God, when God chose the kings, they were all people who were so not, we think, not capable. You know, not anyone great or anything, the kings.
They say
that. That might be a reason why he chose that sort of people.
When God chose the king, they say in Am Yisrael, when God is choosing a king, the king is getting special powers. That's why Shmuel and Navi.
Brings it to them, you know?
Yes, of course. Remember? Because that's why the prophet Shmuel was afraid to go and crown David the Melech. Because it says Shaul will hear about it. And who knows what's going? He's going to kill me. So God told him, "Don't worry about it." But why was he worried? Because Lev Melachim beyad Hashem. Because when somebody is a king, he knows what's happening, what's going on. He's got this special feeling. But what God told him is no more a king. The minute you crown David HaMelech is the king. So he maybe has got the title, but he is not really the king anymore. So he cannot feel what you're doing. But that's a different issue. The idea is that God gives us special powers to do our special job. And each one of us got a job. And we have to fulfill it. Then,
so Moses and Aaron complimented each other also, because the one he said, "I can't talk," so he said, "Okay."
That's it. By the way, it's a very interesting story. Who really talks with Amisel and who talks with Pharaoh? We will see that they're really both of them are talking. It's very interesting because, like, Moshe Rabbeinu is talking to Pharaoh and Aaron is talking to people, but then we see also it's changed sometimes. So it's a different issue. But anyway, I want to see where it is that we're. Pasuk Tetzain in Perek Tet, I think. פרק ט'. פסוק ט' ז', פרק ט'. פרק ט', פסוק ט' ז'. פסוק 16. ואולם. אולם בעבור זאת העמדתיך. בעבור ארותך את כוחי ולמען ספר שמי לכל הארץ. Very interesting point. Like here is maybe a clue to the famous midrash that says that the king of Nineveh was Pharaoh. In other words, Pharaoh was the only one saved from all his army, and he became the king of Nineveh. Why?
Why?
He has written, Ba'avur zot, this is the reason I let you stand. Ba'avur arotcha, because I want to show you my power. So, that you will go on and tell everybody who is the real God. And who is more suitable than the guy who says, I am God?
Power.
So he's got a mission to tell the world about God.
But this
and then, look, when the Navi, the prophet Yonah, comes to Nineveh, and he tells them, you sin to God, and God is going to destroy the place. Mm-hmm. Immediately, they all do tshuva. Immediately. Yeah. Because the king there is Pharaoh. And he knows who is God and what he can do.
This was a Gilgul from Paro, or really Paro?
The Midrash says it was Pharaoh. It could have happened in the same time. You know, it's not, the same we time. Don't know. Yes, well... I don't remember exactly what the times of the story of Yonah and Avia, but it can be that this pharaoh was a young pharaoh, and then, let's say, 50 years later, it happens the story with Nineveh. Who knows? But exactly, it's not stories. It's the lesson us. No, what's the lesson for us? It's written in Tehillim also. We have to praise God. We have to go and tell everybody of all the glory and all the things that God has done for us and for the world. That's our job. If Pharaoh is being told to do this, so we also have to do it. And this Shabbos also I'm writing about an unbelievable thing that happened to me in Köln, in the synagogue there. In the middle of the davening, there is Mizmor LeTodah. We are singing thanks to God. Mizmor LeTodah. Mm-hmm. And the Halacha says something very interesting. You should sing it. And I talked about it a few months ago. Mm-hmm. And I'm davening, and suddenly, when they come to Mizmor LeTodah, the chazan with the congregation, I'm singing Mizmor LeTodah. And I was so happy, and then I approached the rabbi, which also I gave him a shkoyech, because he's lasting very nicely in this keila, which is not easy. And yes. And then, the next morning, they have breakfast, like a small breakfast after davening, and we're talking, and then the chazan says, you know that you are the reason that we're doing it. What do you mean? He says, Shmariyahu, this is the guy that organized the lesson that when I come there, I give a lesson to Israelis that they are there for many years and Tuesday night. And one of the lessons that I send them the lesson that I give also on Friday morning on Parshat Shavua. And in one of those lessons, I was talking about saying thanks to God, and the Ta'alacha says that you should sing with something that we don't see anywhere, especially not Ashkenazi, maybe there's Faradim here and there. So he heard it, and he says, you know what? He approached the rabbi and the chazan, telling him, maybe we will start sing this minhag. So I'm saying, you know, sometimes in life, the lesson is very interesting, because it made me happy, and it made me also feel that I'm doing something. Because sometimes in life you do things,
you want to be recognized,
and you don't know that if you've got an influence and anybody's even listening, or you're making a difference, and you know it's very hard to go on doing things if nobody is telling you that you do the right thing, and nobody is telling me that you do anything. So you know, when you do it, you get frustrated, so it's so important to tell people. You know, I listened to the shiur. Or you know, what you said influenced me. Or I did this, that. This gives a good feeling to the guy who's doing it. So we should really, how do you say in Hebrew, lefargen echad l'sheni?
How do you say
no translation. We should appreciate each other and tell good word to each other. In order, because when you say a good word, then we also know that we, our job, even if it looks sometimes a terrible job or it's not easy, but we see, oh, we're doing something. It's a good feeling. And this is the way we should do it. We should show our appreciation to people.
And to say thank you.
Of course. This is what we're saying. God is telling Pharaoh, I'm leaving you alive because I want you to tell the whole world. So we, which are the children of the of God, what should we do? We should do double. We should show the whole world the truth about God. And this is the story of Pharaoh. He says, I am God. And you know, we see all the time when there are three different ways that Moshe Rabbeinu is approaching Pharaoh before a plague. And it goes three times the same. The first time is he is meeting him on the way to the river in the morning. Why? Because he says he's God. And God doesn't need to go to the toilet. So what is he doing? It's very early in the morning. He goes to the river and he does what he does in the river so nobody sees him. So Moshe Rabbeinu is waiting for him on the way to the river. And believe me, if somebody needs to do something and you're stopping, it's not an easy feeling. So, and he says he's God. So what is a better place to meet this guy who says he's God than telling about the real God? And he tells him about the plague is going to come. Then the second time, he's going to the palace, which is also not very easy, because this is the palace of Pharaoh. You know, Pharaoh is not just another guy from the street.
How can he enter all the time?
How can he enter? How can he go in and approach Pharaoh with all the guards and all the security system? It's impossible. But he's doing it. It's not only brought up. It's got all animals. It's got guards. But Moshe Rabbeinu is going. Nobody stops him. He's going with God. God is telling him, I'm going with you. And then the third plague, in each one of those three times, is without warning, without anything. He's just putting the plague. Look at it, you see it. And it's also a part of the showing to us the way God works. Be'ezrat Hashem, we should learn those parashiyot, because this is of one of the basics of our emunah, of our belief.
Koyach.
So this parasha has